Today is Sunday, November 6th, 2016, and this...
When you think of Las Vegas hotels, you don't necessarily think of fine art. The Cosmopolitan aims to change that.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 575.
Las Vegas, Nevada!
I'm just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
You're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm pleased to report that I'm back on the I need to start thinking about our next Vegas trip train.
Ooh.
Yeah. Took a little longer than normal after this trip.
Yeah.
For good reason, I would say. But I'm, I don't know. I had the video Poker Jones yesterday.
Ooh.
I know. Dangerous. But good.
Mm-hmm. Not so bad that you had to scoot off to a local casino with horrible pay tables.
No, it rarely gets that bad.
Bad atmosphere.
It hasn't been that bad in a long time. So, yeah, have to start thinking about that.
Okay.
Well, I have started thinking about that. We'll just have to start planning 2017's activities. I have things in mind, but we'll see.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we've got some fun Vegas news to talk about this week. I think it's going to be a tidy little show, but what the hell, we did two last week, so.
Yeah. Well, you say that, and then we get on a tangent, so you never know.
Well, if you have any tangents in mind, you just throw them out.
Okay.
Let's start with Rock in Rio. You might recall the music festival from 2015 that was held on MGM Resort's property across the street from SLS. It was supposed to be an every other year thing, but the first one did not do well. And now, not a surprise at all, but it sounds like the festival is almost officially dead. I'm not quite saying officially dead yet because it's just a little shaky still, but...
Mm-hmm. But it's not looking good.
No. In one of the review journal articles from the last couple days, Johnny Katz reported amidst his many typos that an MGM Resorts senior VP of entertainment named Chris Baldazan, whatever, said the event is not coming back for 2017. It was all done by text, so that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was kind of the reporting on this article was a little strange. It was all about the speakers from... Mm-hmm. It's centered around the speakers from Rock in Rio and how they're now in the Toshiba Plaza by T-Mobile Arena. And so based on that, I think he decided to start asking questions.
Uh-huh.
And apparently they've been working with the Rock in Rio people, but they have been hard to deal with and haven't made any steps towards coming back in 2017 as they were supposed to. However, if you look in the Rock in Rio website, which does get updated fairly often...
Mm-hmm.
On the homepage, they have like their next three events, and 2017 still is USA listed.
Huh.
If you click through, it just shows stuff from 2006 or 2015, like a recap video or something. So they have Rock in Rio hasn't completely dismissed the concept, at least, but I don't know. The original one, as we discussed quite a bit when it first happened, was plagued by many issues, one being the lineup was weird. Like, not that it was an unknown band. They had some big bands.
No, they had big names.
Taylor Swift was one of the headliners. Metallica was one of the headliners.
But the rock and then the pop divisions were very weird.
Yeah, they tried to have a rock weekend and a pop weekend, but they weren't super... They didn't really stick to it that well. Like, mm-hmm. Didn't they have No Doubt under the rock weekend instead of the pop weekend? And it was a little bit strange. And then they tried to stick to a bunch of things that are traditions for Rock in Rio in Brazil that...
Didn't really work here?
Well, no. They had one, I think they had like one entrance area, and they have this whole philosophy about people walking from a distance together toward the entrance, and as a result, they didn't have any, they didn't have, you know, really any parking nearby. So you had to park far away, take the monorail, get dropped off, but you couldn't really get dropped off that close. So they wanted everybody to parade in together and it would build a sense of community and all this bullshit. And like that might fly in Brazil, but people here want convenience.
Yes.
And rather than learn from the festivals here and how they do things, they decided to try to force their shit upon people who don't really care. So I think that might be part of it too. But
didn't they lose a lot more money than they thought they would? They were expecting to lose a certain amount,
yeah,
but they weren't expecting to lose as much as they did.
Yeah, the exact amounts they lost are kind of mysterious. There have been a bunch of different reports about that. And yeah, the first year of any festival typically loses money, but apparently it was quite a bit more than expected and expensed. And then, of course, MGM Resorts, they put like $50 million into this, making this property their new Las Vegas Festival Grounds, as they're calling it. Other than Rock in Rio, they've only had a couple of events there, and there's nothing currently scheduled. So it seems like that was a giant waste of money.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they end up doing. If that is now, is that land, which sat empty for decades, is that just going to, again, sit there with nothing happening? Is MGM going to try to make something happen there? I don't know. I would imagine that the dude with the Mayan-themed resort is going to be on the phone toot sweet tomorrow, making calls, like, because he wanted that chunk of land as part of
his development.
Yeah, but no resources to make it happen, of course, from what we could tell in our discussions. He disappeared. Well, he disappeared from my email box, I should say, after I...
After you outed him?
I didn't out him. I didn't say... I've never said his name, but publicly cast doubts upon his plans, which he was so eager about. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start hearing about that Mayan thing again. Just because this is the land, part of the land he had in mind, and the project won't die despite the fact that it's never going to happen. So anyway, we'll see what happens with that land, what happens with, I'm waiting to see if Rock in Rio officially, for some reason I have this gut feeling that they're going to issue a statement this week saying, no, it's not dead, we're
still working on it.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either, but
who knows.
I don't think it's going to be back, and this story, of course, just makes it.
Do you have a percentage
of Rock and Reel coming back?
Yeah.
At this point, 20%.
Okay.
Yeah, which is probably high, but who knows? All right, we have some transportation news. Exciting transportation news to talk about. Let's start. We've got two things. We have downtown and we have the Strip. So let's start with downtown. And there might be some new forms of transportation coming soon.
Ooh.
To the downtown Las Vegas area. The Las Vegas City Council approved the use of 24 pedicabs and 8 pedal buses, which are essentially like those pedal pubs.
Oh,
but
my God.
They already have a couple of those.
Yeah.
But you can't drink on them, and it makes no sense.
Makes no sense. You can drink on them here where absolutely nothing is allowed.
I know.
But you can't drink on them in Vegas where,
I know,
like,
so
you could walk down the street with a to-go cup.
Yeah. No, so at least that's how it is right now. There have been a couple operating, but may not have been appropriately approved to do so. But they are now, and there's also another form of transportation
What's the point of the pedal pub if you can't drink?
It's just to go from one bar to the other. But again, like, not fun. Wouldn't you rather just hop in a bus and have them take you quickly?
Yes.
I don't want to have to fucking ride a bike. Like a collaborative bike. It's like the social seating thing at restaurants.
Oh, Christ.
Like, really? Now we all have to try. We have to make the transportation work together?
No.
Am I fucking Fred Flintstone here? Ridiculous. Okay, anyway. There's another form of transportation that may also be coming downtown. There's a vote scheduled for mid-November for something that'll be called the Downtown Circulator, and it's a free shuttle, a series of free shuttles. They're not, like, full-on shuttle buses. They're electric cars. Like mini electric buses, they hold like six or eight people. They're really small. And it would be free. They would have a fixed route and they would have fixed stops, but along the route where they don't have stops, you could actually hail one using an app. So anywhere that it's safe to pull over along their route. The reason it's free is it's funded entirely by advertising. So they have wraps on their vehicles. I looked at a video on the company who runs these things, and the vehicles are really, really ugly because it's all advertising and they're electric, you know, electric cars, which are hideous. They have similar services in San Diego, Venice, Santa Monica, the Hamptons, Asbury Park, and Fort Lauderdale. So it's not like they're starting up from scratch. They seem to know what they're doing.
Do you know what the route is? Would it be the Arts District?
That's what I was thinking. Because I
keep meaning to go there, and I know that there are convenient ways to get there, but this would be super convenient.
Super convenient.
And also free.
There are a couple. To the best of my knowledge, there's not an actual route yet because it's still in the approval phase. But I was thinking that, like, wouldn't it be great to be able to get quickly and easily for free from Fremont Street to the Neon Boneyard?
Or Atomic Liquors?
Even that, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, it's not that far of a hike, but
no,
sure,
but,
why not?
Oh, but if it's, you know, the middle of July or August.
Or the middle of the night.
Or that.
Yeah. And then, yeah, the Arts District. There are some options. I'll be curious to see what they come up with for this. And the city has really wanted to improve transportation options, so that's why they're looking at this. And the funding, I don't know how much the city would have to put in. I think most of it is funded through advertising, though. So it's just a matter of them giving the okay.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it happens.
I do, too. I'm intrigued by this.
So as far as the pedicabs, there have been attempts both on the Strip and downtown to introduce pedicabs before, and there have been companies that have just started operating, and they end up getting shut down because there's no approval. So this would formalize it downtown. There are certain restrictions on where they can operate. There's not a lot of information in the stuff I saw. There wasn't anything that specifically addressed Fremont Street.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the streets that were mentioned are those that they can't operate on. So, for example, there are certain streets they can't operate on between 3 and 6 p.m. because it's rush hour. And then they're never allowed on Las Vegas Boulevard, Maryland Parkway, Charleston Boulevard, and Casino Center Boulevard south of Carson. But like I said, Fremont wasn't addressed, so...
That could be a mess. There's already enough shit to dodge when you're trying to walk.
I'm thinking, though, they don't allow other vehicles along there, so I'm thinking that probably is just by its very nature off limits.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope. As much as I could see some benefit to being able to jump on one of those things and have them take you from one end to the other, I think they're better off not functioning there just because of what a mess it already is as far as getting around on foot. And having those things could be quite a problem, especially when there are bands playing and stuff.
Or a Friday or Saturday night, yeah.
So my guess is the reason that might not have been addressed in the current ordinance is it's probably already addressed in this is a pedestrian walkway and you can't have any sort of vehicles other than maybe... you do see bicycles, but they're usually operated by the cops, so that might be one of the few exceptions or something.
Is there a situation in which you would envision yourself in a pedicab?
I was wondering if you're going to ask me that. I would feel so bad for the driver because I'm a big dude to haul around. That's a lot of work. So probably not unless I was...
Incapacitated somehow,
mysteriously, and needed to get, let's say, from the D to Golden Gate. For example, pulling that out of the air. No reason why. Maybe. I don't know. Unlikely, though. I'm not really... I don't see myself using the pedicabs a lot, but it's nice to have them as an option, I guess. Mm-hmm. I suppose... There's probably some instance where... For some reason, let's say we're at Atomic Liquors.
Yep.
Not drunk necessarily, just tired. It's the end of the day.
Yeah.
And we're staying all the way at the other end of Fremont at Golden Gate or something. Maybe. Yeah, maybe, I guess. I'd consider it. I could be talked into it.
You could be talked into a lot of things after a few.
Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Uh-huh.
No specific...
But you do have your limits, though.
For example?
It's karaoke.
Yeah, well, no, I think I could be talking to karaoke.
Really?
Yeah. We just haven't gotten there yet. I've considered it.
Huh.
Not recently. We haven't been in a position to consider it recently.
No.
But yeah, I think I could be talked into that. That's not that bad. Wow. Okay. So some other transportation news, unless you have anything else, any other thoughts on the pedicabs. Okay. Moving to the Strip.
I'm plotting now.
Taking a pedicab, trying to get me on a pedicab?
Trying to get you to do things when you've had a few.
It would be kind of funny to have a reality like an episode of a reality TV show that involves me taking a pedicab and then seeing the excruciating pain that the rider is in the next morning when he's trying to get out of bed.
You know the rider at Happy Feet Massage.
Pretty much. Is there a route we can take that involves hills? All right, let's talk about the monorail. Clark County Commissioners approved a plan to extend the Las Vegas monorail. It's going to be, we've discussed this a long time ago when plans first were hatched, to extend it from MGM Grand to Mandalay Bay. The idea here is that they want to have all of the major convention centers on the monorail route, which I guess makes some sense. Mm-hmm. The Zoning Commission also has to look at this. They were supposed to discuss it, but they delayed their plans because it came out in their investigations, I guess, that the construction would be super close to the pipe that carries all of the water to the strip.
Oh.
So they want to make sure that they're not going to have any problems with the right-of-ways and the easements and all that stuff, and that they're not going to drill down and suddenly
kind of important.
Nobody's going to have water for a month on the strip or anything stupid like that. So I'm glad they're looking.
That would happen.
I'm glad they're considering these things. So that discussion has been rescheduled for November 16th. If approved, the Las Vegas monorail will have 2 years to come up with funding for this project. And one of the things about the discussions related to the monorail, the Clark County commissioners are all like, this is a good thing because when we build the NFL stadium behind Mandalay Bay, there's going to be an increase in ridership and it'll be important to have it there. It's like, you might not want to count on that stadium quite yet. I'd wait till there are a lot of documents signed and probably some cranes up and
signs of construction.
I think it's fine that they're extending it regardless of that. It doesn't really matter if the whole point initially was to connect all the convention centers. I suspect that the stadium, the monorail people are just saying, hey, we also have this stadium thing, so we really need to get this built. It's probably just one more thing to get it built. But let's not make that the reason because, yeah. Of course, there is still no airport extension of the monorail, so it still is mostly useless to most people. The monorail serves a function, I guess, but it's not nearly what it could be. Mm-hmm. Having it at Mandalay Bay gets a little bit closer to the airport, depending on the route it would take to the airport. It's right across the street, really. I think they still have hopes to eventually do that, but come on. Let's do that. That would make everyone happy. Mm-hmm. It would make it so useful. But no, that's not the case yet. So it's still not a done deal, but the extension is one step closer to happening, and I think it probably will, assuming they can come up with funding. I don't exactly know how that works. They don't use tax dollars from the monorail, so before people start saying what a waste of tax dollars it is, it's not. It's just that's not how they fund it, but I don't know. I guess I don't really have that big of an issue with this. I don't know that it'll make me that much more likely to use it. Maybe, slightly. Because we do avoid that end of the strip a lot just because of the inconvenience sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I guess I could see myself, let's say we were staying mid-strip. Yeah, it might increase my chances of using it and maybe of even going to Mandalay Bay just knowing that that's an option. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Although, I don't know.
We had stuff that we wanted to do at Mandalay Bay last time. It's just that there was so much other stuff we ended up doing.
Yeah. The convenience of walking usually wins out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some quick entertainment news at SLS, of all places. Who'd have thought? They've actually been regularly booking the Foundry, which was that formerly Life? I think they converted. I don't know. They've gone through so many changes. One of their clubby spaces, they converted, and now it's being used as a live event
music
venue,
and comedy.
Mainly live music. But they now have a regular comedy act performing there, and they just announced and tickets just went on sale for Dana Carvey and John Lovitz doing a regular gig at the Foundry at SLS. They're performing about one weekend a month throughout 2017. Some months are two weekends. That's why I say I'm a little vague on it. But tickets run between $50 and $90 plus taxes and fees. Any desire to see Dana Carvey and John Lovitz at SLS?
Possibly.
Really?
I don't know.
I'm surprised to hear that.
I have a certain nostalgia for the late 80s era Saturday Night Live.
I do too, however.
But considering how often we get to Vegas shows, It probably won't happen.
It's so low on my list, partly because John Lovitz doing stand-up.
Yeah.
Can't be that good. I've never seen him do stand-up. I just can't imagine that he's that funny doing stand-up. I can, you know, he has his place in sketch comedy, but, and then Dana Carvey has just become sad.
Oh.
Last night he was on Saturday Night Live doing The Church Lady, and all that I could think of during the whole thing was in one of his stand-up acts years ago, like when he was at his peak.
Yeah.
He talked about, like, 25 years from now, I'll be wearing the church lady outfit and the wig will be slightly askew and I'll be at, like, a car show. And that's what my career was. And I'm like, you're kind of there. That's kind of how it feels now, like, pulling out that old character.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Like, he should be doing new material.
And he does. Yeah. I mean, I know his stand-up act, he does new material and stuff, but I don't know.
Okay, you've talked me out of it.
I feel like I'd go see him, and if he started doing characters that he is known for from a long time ago, I'd start to feel sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, sorry for him, which I don't know.
I think it's one of those things where, you know, you're a band and you have these huge hits and you're still turning out music, but you still feel obligated to play the huge hits because that's what a lot of people came to see.
Yeah, comedy's not, well, I don't know, stand-up comedy's not like that as much as music, though.
Yeah.
Because with more stand-up comedy, typically...
It evolves a little more...
No, typically people don't want to see the same act over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose if he can find a way to incorporate some of his characters into, like, current scenarios,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just, like I said, that when I was watching that last night, I was just like, no, you shouldn't do that anymore. It doesn't... And the fact that he, as he ages, he looks more and more like the church lady.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's happening. If you're a fan of those two guys, you can check them out at SLS, performing at least one weekend a month for the next 9 months or so. I think they have 20 shows scheduled, so we'll call
it. If anybody goes, let us know. I'm curious.
Yeah, or if somebody's seen Dana Carvey in Vegas recently, because I know he performed. I think he's performed there once in a while. Yeah, so, okay, what else? Follow-up to last week, we had discussed the possibilities for what this strip-side cafe and bar might be at Caesar's Palace. There's a trademark that was filed recently, and there was additional light shed on that, possibly. It's still kind of, you know... On the Facebook group, from someone named Dan posted a comment that he was at Serendipity 3 recently, and an employee there mentioned... that the place is going to be closing because of the employee's legal troubles. So there's nothing official.
The employer.
Huh?
You said the employee.
Oh, I'm sorry. The employer's. Yes, the owner's legal problems. So I wouldn't be surprised if that indeed is true. And it's always a little shaky when you get information from employees because there's a lot of gossip, you know, mm-hmm. about things happening. But given... that it coincided with the timing of this trademark being filed and the name of it happening to be perfect for that kind of location.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably somewhat likely, and I wouldn't be surprised if they just sort of transition from Serendipity 3 to this new thing without even closing down. It just goes, because they've done that before at some restaurants where I think like they're, is it called, whatever their lobby restaurant is it called like Americano now or something?
Oh, God.
It's gone through
a bunch of changes.
It's
so many names that I can't even.
But the last time it changed, it just kind of, all of a sudden a new sign was up and they didn't really, I don't know if they even changed their menu, but mm-hmm. I suspect they'll try to do it seamlessly. Maybe not. Maybe they'll do a complete remodel, but time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll let you know if it becomes official. You know, you can still book reservations at Serendipity 3 on OpenTable, and that hasn't changed, like going way far into 2017. I didn't even know you can make reservations for that place.
I didn't know
that
either.
Doesn't seem like a reservation-y type place.
No,
but...
no. I have a couple questions about this.
Okay.
Will they keep the frozen hot chocolate?
You would hope so, because that's like the
greatest
delicious. Thing ever.
It even is. Though we haven't had it in years.
It's been a while, but it's so good. But somebody, I think that the person who posted that may have posted, they posted a picture of some sort of delicious looking ice creamy kind of thing. It might have been the frozen hot chocolate, but.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
My other question, the acoustics in there.
Very loud.
You don't want to go there if you have a hangover because holy shit.
Are you speaking from firsthand experience?
No.
Oh.
But I was thinking, we went there for breakfast once and it was just fine.
It was okay.
Not great.
You could sit outside if
yeah, sitting outside is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go there for lunch instead of breakfast. Their breakfast was underwhelming.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just thinking, oh my God, because I'm not a morning person anyway.
Really?
And it was just really loud even after not having a rough night. So yeah.
And my hearing sucks. So if I'm in a noisy room, I can't hold a conversation down. So I'm with you. So I don't know. We'll see. Unless they carpet the place. Maybe it is already carpeted. I don't even know.
I don't think
it doesn't
so.
Seem like no. There's anything absorbing the sound, though.
Yeah.
So. Alrighty. Moving along, another restaurant note. Downtown, there's a pizza place we've mentioned a couple times that has an opening date now. Evil Pizza, which is the Evel Knievel-themed pizza parlor on Fremont Street, right next to Park on Fremont. It is officially opening on November 9th. They've had a couple test opening days where they just say, hey, come on down. They did one a couple days ago, and it was the first 666 people get a free slice.
All right.
Which I like that that's what they went with. It was for the, I think it was like the anniversary of, did he jump Devil's Canyon or something?
Oh.
So they went with 666. Nice. I like it. I like what they're doing. I hope that it ends up being a good place.
Yeah.
They seem like they're having fun with it. And
good.
I look forward to checking it out, and I really hope the pizza's good and that it doesn't suck. They did say they're going to have Schlitz on tap. What is the deal with like
shitty beers on tap?
People being excited about shitty beers.
I don't know.
I don't know if excited, but like.
Ooh, they have PBR. Let's go.
The fact that that's a selling point, I don't get that.
Yeah.
I don't need a fancy schmancy beer, but I would like something that's.
That has flavor.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go somewhere specifically because they have Schlitz, but occasionally if the topic of like the Griffin or somewhere like that comes up, someone will say, do they still have hams on tap? It's like, who cares? It's shit.
Yeah.
I get that it's cheap. Is that it? Is it just like, I'm all in because it's $2?
I don't know. Sometimes.
Or is it like the novelty of, we're drinking shitty beer?
I think it's a combination of the cheapness, the novelty, and sometimes you want to slowly accelerate your intake for the night.
But if you're going to drink shitty beer, you should do that after you already have a tidy buzz.
Ah.
You drink the good stuff first, then you switch over to
maybe
the
crap. Maybe that's what it's for.
Maybe.
Maybe that you're not starting your night there. Okay.
Maybe. All right. One more bar note downtown. Downtown Cocktail Room, a favorite of ours, has announced plans to make some changes. They're going to convert.
That would be a place you could take a pedicab from.
It certainly would. They're going to convert the private event space, which they don't use all that often. We've never even been in there. It's like that's kind of on the end, the side of the bar. They have a usually curtained off area.
Oh, I think we've been. Don't they have seating in there?
They have a few booths.
Oh, okay.
We've never been back there, though.
Oh, okay. We've been on the perimeter.
Yes, we've been just outside of that.
Okay.
They're going to change that. They're going to put in another bar. It's going to be a bar within a bar.
Next, a bar within a bar within a bar.
I hope so. That would be something, wouldn't it? Well, it's not the first time there's been a bar within a bar. Because
the laundry room.
Laundry room at Commonwealth is a certainly example when you go with the speakeasy thing. Mm-hmm. They're not quite going for that. They're not trying to make it exclusive or secretive or anything. They're just trying to have a different concept within the same building, and it's going to be called Mike Morey's Sip and Tip. It's going to open possibly as soon as December. They're looking at January for the official grand opening, according to DTLV.com. It's going to be a very different concept than Downtown Cocktail Room, which is focused on
mixology and personalization.
Super fresh ingredients.
Yep.
The drinks
innovation.
The drinks take longer to make. It's super concept-y.
But you'll get something there you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah, that's not the case with the new place, Sip and Tip. This is supposed to be what they're saying, every man's bar. They're hesitating to say a dive bar because they said you can't. The owners are saying you can't really.
You can't.
Something is a.
It becomes a dive bar.
Exactly. You can't just make. We're going to open a dive bar. It either is that or it isn't, and it kind of happens. But they want it to be just very accessible and somewhere just anybody can go and hang out. They're going to have a small selection of canned beers, 4 taps. As far as cocktails, a slight focus on whiskey.
Question. Will it be whiskey forward?
No, I'm going to say no. I know you're trying to get me to rant about that whole forward concept because it's so stupid. Because
you went off on it for about 10 minutes last night when we were watching an episode
whiskey?
Of Bar Rescue.
Did they say whiskey forward?
They said whiskey forward.
Yeah, that's one of the new restaurant and bar precious words that's been coming out a lot is, wasn't there something
vegetable
else?
Vegetable forward.
Vegetable forward. That was the other one. Yes. the restaurant and bar industry, as you, I think you were the one who commented last night, is so far up its own ass, just so enamored with its,
with
its,
itself
coming up with these ridiculous terms. It's annoying, but no, they're going to have, it's going to be, you know, probably just a typical bar. You can get anything there, but they're going to maybe have a little bit more, maybe a few more whiskey options than some of the other things. There are two ways to get in. You can either enter through the downtown cocktail room entrance, if you can figure out how, which is always fun. It's a weird door. Or they have a separate entrance, apparently, from the alley behind downtown cocktail room, which is currently quite gross, and I would not have any desire to walk back there. Like, you walk by the alley and it stinks, and there's dumpsters and stuff. However, this article mentioned another interesting note, that there are some plans in the works to clean up that alley, which goes all the way from downtown cocktail room to La Comida, and to turn it into like an event space. So it wouldn't be so
skeezy.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't want to walk down that alley right now.
Oh,
if they put in some better lighting, cleaned it up, and they're going to repave it apparently, and had stuff going on back there so that it wasn't intimidating. Yeah. It might serve a function, but right now I don't know that I'd be that crazy about walking down there. The bar is named after a downtown cocktail room regular customer who died a year or two ago. So that's why they have the guy's name on there, but they don't really, it sounds like they don't really expect people to use that as part of the name. It's just more in honor of him, but it'll probably be known mainly as Sip and Tip, which, I don't know. That's not a bad name. So we'll check that out once it opens, I'm sure. And
it seems like they're going for a similar market to the Griffin.
Yeah, it sounds like it to me too. Be curious to see how it is. It's not a huge space, but I don't know.
We'll go
check it out. And if anybody is able to check that out, you know, shortly after it opens, before we get in there, please call with a review. We'd love to hear about it and look forward to having a beer, having a Schlitz or two there. Or probably not that, but something else. All right. So that's this week's news. Let's talk about our friends and sponsors from
Viator. Viator, it gives you more.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All righty. So as I've been doing, last week I was talking about New York because it was one of those places where I kind of want to go.
Yep.
And
my friend Melanie's there now.
Yes, I know. One of the debutantes. She's running in the marathon, right?
Yep.
Good luck, Melanie. We're pulling for you. We want to see your name on the list of winners. Odds are she's not going to end up being one of the winners because she's not from Ethiopia or Kenya. But is that racist for me to say that? Probably. That's who always wins, though.
But it's usually runners from Africa who place very well.
You don't get a lot of white ladies from the middle of America who are winning the New York Marathon. I'll say it. Boy, that was freeing. Anyway, let's talk about San Francisco
freeing
this week.
And uncomfortable.
I love San Francisco. It's one of my favorite cities, and we have not been there in so long, and we've kind of started talking about maybe going back there in the near future. And as a result, I thought, I wonder what Viator has. Well, Viator is based in San Francisco, and that's part of the reason that they have a ton of experiences there, as well as the fact that there is an endless number of things to do in San Francisco. I love that city.
Yes. I want to go back.
Yes. So that's high on the list, too. All kinds of stuff. And if you've never been there, it's so good. You have to go. There's so many things to do. You've got Alcatraz.
It's got a nice vibe to it.
I always describe the places like that, like Chicago and San Francisco, and I would imagine New York too. They have their own heartbeat. They have their own. Minneapolis is a great place, but it's not like that. It doesn't have its own thing.
Yeah.
But when you're in those cities, it just it feels alive. It's very different, and I love that. But so many things to do. Like I said, Alcatraz, which we've done, that's super fun.
Yeah. That's cool.
I would maybe even do that again.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of like touristy attractions that I want to do a second time, but that was pretty cool.
It was like 20 years ago when we did that.
Was it that long ago?
Yep.
Oh my God, I'm old. They have hop on, hop off tours, which make it easy to get around the city. They have bay cruises of all kinds of different types of bay cruises. We've done that too, and that's really fun. They have day trips if you want to, you know, if you're going to be there a while and you want to check other things out, you can go to Yosemite or Monterey or Wine Country. They have a private love tour.
Question about this.
I knew that you would.
What is a private love tour?
It's just a hippie tour of the city.
Okay.
So you're in a like really crazy looking Volkswagen van from the 70s. And they drive you around to like Haight Ashbury and some of the, you probably, you know, just see a lot of the hippie lifestyle, culture-y things from the area. But the
Will
fact
the band be rocking?
I hope not. The fact they call it the Love Tour, though, I knew that you were going to...
The private Love Tour.
It is the private Love Tour. They also have bike, Segway, and helicopter tours, all kinds of great stuff. If you're going to go to San Francisco, and you really should.
Yes.
Check out Viator, see how they can help you make it an awesome trip at viator.com or use the link at 500bymidnight.com before you book, and we will get extra credit points. They also have great iOS and Android apps. Thank you, as always, to Viator for their support. We do love you, and we're going to come and see you soon.
Yes, we are.
All right. Facebook group post of the week. You know what? I changed course on the Facebook group post of the week this week.
Okay.
Generally, anytime there's any sort of lobbying, any sort of even encouragement, this should be the Facebook post of the week, someone will say in the comments, and immediately I'm like, don't tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not selecting this because I'm a contrarian dick. However, this week, there is just a very simple, very obvious request from Aaron, and he said simply, the whole post was simply, can this be the Facebook post of the week? No other information. It wasn't one of the comments. That was the post itself. Mm-hmm. And at first I said no. And
then you thought again?
Well, I decided it ended up being like a really amusing discussion of people suggesting, well, then this is the comment of the week. Then this is the, and it was stupid and funny and
oh, good.
Everybody who was involved had a good time with it. And I decided I'm going to be a contrarian to myself, change my mind, go back in my word. Aaron, congratulations. That post is indeed this week's Facebook post of the week.
However, this has been done once.
It's been done once. Next time, I'm just going to delete the request. And not from Aaron. He's not going to do it again. He got his way. He got his wish. As well he should. But somebody else is going to be like, oh, about this one? No, it's not funny the second time. So let's not do a second time. Please. Please don't. Okay. I just see it. You saw it coming, too. You're like, next week, somebody's going to do the same. Okay. It's funny once. I salute you, Aaron. All right. We have, we're just going to take one phone call this week, mainly because we only got one phone call this week.
Okay.
Quiet week on the old voicemail line after we got caught up on Wednesday. So let's listen in to this call.
Greetings to podcasting's Tim and Michelle.
Hello.
It's a common place for me to call it a trip. Third base, last place you stop before going home, off in the Pinball Hall of Fame. I'm inside. You might hear a bell or whistle. Came in on Sunday night, October 30th. Staying till Friday afternoon, spent most of the time downtown, stayed a cheap night at a timeshare near the Orleans for the final night. Most of my group went home on Thursday. I'm here solo, so I traded in the SUV for a Mustang convertible and playing some pinball before it's time to head home myself. Great week. I've been here for Halloween before. Did it again. Chaos ensues on Fremont Street. Plenty of people. Plenty to see. Too much to see in some cases, but a lot of fun to be here on Halloween, at least on Fremont. I've never spent it. My fourth Halloween here in town, I've never spent it on the Strip anywhere, and I'm sure there's some good places to hang out and congregate. I've never asked. I've never heard Fremont Street work. So if you want to come and have fun on Halloween, I do recommend congregating. It's a little crowded, probably not New Year's Eve-like. I've never been here for that, but it's plenty busy. On any Halloween night, any year here, and it's a great time. Highlights of the trip, two, one of which was our Sunday night pilgrimage with my group, there's more detail that I can need to get into. We went to the Freakling Brothers Trilogy of Terror, local haunted houses. They're about a 10-mile drive from the Strip. They do it well, pretty intense, not quite like anything you get back home in Minnesota. I've been to them all in Minnesota. Freakling Brothers is pretty good and pretty unique, and they do it well. We got some VIP treatment because I contacted them in advance and got a few nice pictures of the week as well. Not so much at Freakling Brothers, but some photos and random stuff in the past week I share at my Twitter handle, @VegasInsights. Thanks, folks, for all the news and information you share. I've got a small, tiny ounce or two to contribute to my blog eventually, but nothing on the level you folks do. Time to go play a couple of games and jump in the Mustang and head for home.
All right. Thanks for the report. I'll allow the self-promotion. I appreciate the information. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about haunted houses?
I'm not really into them. I used to enjoy them as a youth.
Oh, you did?
Uh-huh.
Have you been to a lot of them?
No, just like two.
Okay. I've been to a couple. I haven't been to any as an adult. I mean, like maybe high school was probably the last time. Maybe college, somewhere mm-hmm. in there I went to one. I don't know. They don't really, maybe I haven't been to a good one. But like people just jumping out, like, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been to one where I'm truly frightened.
There was one, the first one I ever went to, it was in this old closed down theater and they had like a fright in each room and it got pretty predictable.
Uh-huh.
Like you'd go into they'd herd everybody into the room and then someone would turn around and go. But then the last room, I made the mistake of leaning up against the wrong object because I thought, oh, there's that door. And then, you know, whatever's going to come out of this door.
Uh-huh.
And they came out from right behind me and scared the crap out of me.
Well, then it was effective.
It was.
As it should be. All right. Well, I know they turned the Adventure Dome at Circus Circus into a haunted house at night around Halloween every mm-hmm. year. That might be one to go to because that's scary alone.
Alone, yeah.
But, you know, making it intentionally scary, new twist on things. They've tried to do that a couple times at hotels where they turn an entire floor of the hotel into a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they do that anymore. I think actually Circus Circus did that one year. I think Las Vegas Club did it at one point. Actually didn't. I think Amazing Jonathan might have been part of that one.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely done a couple. Remember something about that.
I don't think none of that happens anymore. But
mm-hmm. And what did you dress up as for Halloween this year?
I did not. I hid in the basement
with my dog.
A cranky
old man?
Same as usual, yep. Cranky old asshole who doesn't want to see any kids. I don't like when people come to my house. I don't even like when friends come to my house. I don't want strangers coming over and asking for candy. Your parents have jobs. Let them buy you some fucking Snickers, you little motherfuckers. Get off my lawn. All right. This week's listener purchase of the week. Thanks for the call, Mike. This week's listener purchase of the week is an ebook from Grammar Girl.
If you're I love her.
I know. If you're not familiar with Grammar Girl, she makes proper English fun.
Mm-hmm.
I love Grammar Girl.
She has a podcast. She has books out.
Of books. So I think what they did, it seems like they might have sliced up one of her books into mini ebooks because this was under $1. And it said that it was originally part of one of her other books. So I suppose they don't want people buying something twice, which is nice. They warn you.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is just punctuation. It's Grammar Girl's Punctuation 9/11. Your guide.
No, 9/11. Punctuation 9/11.
And don't we all have our own punctuation? I've had my own personal punctuation 9/11.
And what was that?
I've had a few of them where something comes back from the printer and...
And you have an apostrophe in the wrong place.
I have a Johnny Katz-like error in the middle of, you know, a headline or something. It happens. poor Johnny Katz has become like my whipping boy for typos. Well deserved though. If you look at that latest column, it's a mess. Anyway, Grammar Girl's Punctuation 9/11, your guide to writing it right, quick and dirty tips. If you just want to make your writing better, look at Grammar Girl's stuff. Mm-hmm. She makes it easy. Check out her podcast. They're like short, simple, quick and dirty tips to make your writing better. And then she does these little guides and books. Anyway, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, like Grammar Girl's Punctuation 9/11, please use the link at 500bymidnight.com. You click through that before you buy it, before you add it to your cart, and we get a small percentage of the purchase price without you having to spend any additional money. It's a really great way to support the podcast. Super easy and fun. Okay, I don't know about the fun part, but I thought I'd throw that in because, you know, series of three. Karma donations this week. I'm just fired up. I'm all caffeinated, and that extra hour of sleep did me so much good. Mm-hmm. All right.
Should we do another show after this?
I don't have anything else to talk about.
I don't either.
All right. Recurring donation this week from Brian. Thank you, sir. We do appreciate your ongoing support of the show. Tara. And Tara said, to be clear, I do believe in karma. However, you cannot buy it. I agree with that. I've saved 12 puppies in order to karma infuse my trip this month. I love that.
Yes.
The money is for you and Michelle because I enjoy your podcast. Cheers.
Thank you
very much for your support, Tara. And Peter and Donna, long-time listeners of 500. Go way back to the first meetup at O'Shea's.
Mm-hmm.
They were the only ones to show up.
Yep.
Oh, how things have changed.
But we had a good time.
And they were at VIMP this year. Belated VIMP donation to thank you for your fabulous podcast. Had a great time at VIMP, but didn't get a chance to buy you a drink.
That's okay.
That's okay. We didn't need any more, but thank you very much for the support of the show for so long. We do appreciate it. They play an important part in the podcast history.
I agree.
All right. Anything else before we wrap things up?
I don't think so. What are you going to do with all your excess energy?
I have work to do.
Okay.
So I need to tone it down a notch so I can get some
focus.
Write some boring ass business articles. All right, 500bymidnight.com is the website. You can email us if you have Dear Tim and Michelle questions. We would love to receive them at 500@gmail.com. You can find us both on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. Our voicemail line, available to you anytime, day or night. Please call us with your reviews, your observations from Vegas. 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will be back soon with another show.
All right. Bye-bye.
Later. Bye.